From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today's speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For quite some time, Dr. Cairns has been dealing with the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a study that has taken us from the manger in Bethlehem to the cross and the Savior's glorious resurrection. With this broadcast, Dr. Cairns begins the final message in the series, as he demonstrates from Scripture that the ministry of Christ is continuing in heaven. One of the most blessed truths that the children of God can contemplate is that we have a man in the glory, the Christ who ever lives as God incarnate. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message entitled, The Ever-Living and Ever-Giving Christ. But first, he brings today's hot topic, The God Debate, Fools Whistling in the Dark.
In the middle of May 2008, Washington hosted a strange gathering of theologians, philosophers, and religious skeptics, from militant atheists to agnostics and New Age spiritual atheists, if you can imagine such a thing. They gathered to read papers on what some scientists like to call the God hypothesis. The general infidel line is, first, science has failed to find natural evidence of God. Natural evidence is all there is. No God, case closed. Slightly softer is the line of reasoning. Science erases the need for God as an explanation of our experiences. And God either doesn't exist or is at best a hypothesis, that is, to the agnostic. And then there's the view expressed in the title of University of Hawaii's physicist and astronomer Victor Stenger's new book, God, the Field Hypothesis, How Science Shows that God Does Not Exist. So, the scientific consensus would seem to be that scientists hate God, or at least find God very disturbing. Modern science has found no evidence of God, and it's stupid to think God exists. I say that this would seem to be the scientific consensus. In fact, a full 40% of scientists, and there's no clear definition as to who may qualify to be counted in that number, have stated their belief in God. The Bible says that those who deny God are fools. I know that it doesn't make me look good to pronounce a learned scientist a fool, but if God says it, then it's so. But you ask, how can a man who knows so much about physics or astronomy or some other branch of science be a fool? The answer is not hard to find. Listen again to the starting point of the skeptical scientists. Science has failed to find natural evidence of God. Without evidence, there can be no God. That's the argument. But look at the assertion that modern science has found no evidence of God. That is simply untrue. That some scientists have sought to explain away the evidence is clear, but that the evidence does not exist is just a statement of an atheist's faith. The skeptical scientist starts off with the assumption that everything in the universe can be explained naturalistically, that is, without reference to God. As one such scientist put it, he believes that there's no such thing as miracle, and that the things that now appear to be miraculous will one day be explicable in purely naturalistic terms. Can he prove this? Not at all. It's a statement of blind faith. I say blind faith because, one, it denies the most basic intuition of human nature, the innate knowledge that God is. 2, it ignores the clear evidence of design throughout creation. 3, it also ignores the impossibility of anything but theism to account for the existence of the material universe. And 4, most of all, it ignores the supreme evidence of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially his resurrection from the dead. Christ is the rock on which all atheism must finally perish. It's not science that demands that men reject the reality of God's existence. It's the perversion of science. The trouble with atheists is that, as the Bible says, they do not like to retain God in their minds. Their denial is a cover for their depravity. That's why the Bible calls atheists fools. And no amount of degrees or academic jargon can change that. You know the old saying, a rose by any other name? Well, a fool by any other name is still a fool. And the supreme fool is the man who denies the very existence of his Creator.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the subject of angels. In 5 articles, various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church deal with such matters as what are angels, what is their ministry, as well as the topic of Satan and the fallen angels. Among other articles of interest in this issue, there is a focus on what the Lord is doing in the country of Peru. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Has ever lived, has ever really died, in the sense of passing out of existence. No one who has ever lived ever ceases to be. I trust that you'll keep that in mind, whoever you are, whatever you are. When a man dies and his soul is separated from his body, he does not cease to be. There is no annihilation. There is no oblivion. Ungodly people who cannot take the struggles and the trials of life sometimes talk about ending it all in order to get away from the trouble. I tell you that the worst pain and suffering and agony and turmoil and trial and tribulation of life is a Sunday school picnic in comparison to the darkness and the blackness and the agony and the torment of the damned in hell. No man who ever lived, not even the worst of men, ever ceases to be. No man who has ever lived ever really passes from this scene of time, at least as to his influence. You live, you die, but behind you, you leave a certain effect. It may be the effect genetically, where you leave a family and they perpetuate. It's sometimes a little scary when you see people two or three generations down the line. You understand that those who have gone on have left their mark, for good or ill. And of course, as to influence, those who have lived, in a sense, never cease to be. Now the Lord Jesus Christ actually lived, and He still lives. He lives not only by influence, not only by the ongoing effect of what He did while He was on the earth, but He lives today as literally as He ever did. In the body in which He lived on earth, He now lives, and He lives in the exercise of His own sovereign will and purpose, using His power and His wisdom according to His mind and according to the plan and purpose of God. You see, when He died, He rose again from the dead in the flesh. And after 40 days, He ascended in that body into heaven and took His place at the right hand of God. And there He not only lives, but He reigns. And He intercedes at the right hand of God as our advocate and as the high priest of His people. Psalm 110 verse 1 gives us the word of the Father to the Son. And David says, "The Lord said unto my Lord." This is a text that the Lord Jesus threw in the face of the scribes and Pharisees, applying it to Himself. "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And when that psalm, that text is fulfilled, the Lord Jesus will return in glorious majesty. He will leave the seat at the Father's right hand and will so come again in the very manner in which His disciples saw Him go. And having come, then will in His majesty He begin to reign as the millennial King. It is only then, when He has delivered up the kingdom to the Father, when He has brought in the full harvest of His work on earth, when His people complete, enter into the eternal state, it is only then that we will begin to see anything of the full glory of the life that our Savior lived for us here on earth. In many ways, the life of the ascended Christ calls for and deserves just as close and minute attention as we give, and I trust have given, over these last months and even years to His life here on earth. But I would need to live a whole lot longer than I'm expected to if I were to do that. And so would you. The life of Christ in His ascended glory is a fascinating and glorious subject. I'm going to bring it all together today, as I want to emphasize that preaching on the life of Christ, we don't end with His death. We don't even end with His resurrection. We don't even end with His ascension. Nor indeed do we end with His session at the right hand of God. For He's coming back again. And I want us this morning to keep that in mind and give a little attention as we take a survey, for it will be really nothing more than that. But I trust even as a survey it will be something to instruct and something to comfort and encourage the hearts of the people of God as we think of the ever-living and the ever-giving Christ. Now let me start off at rock bottom. and speak about the Lord Jesus Christ's existence after his ascension into heaven. The point is that he lives forever as God incarnate, God manifested in the flesh. Now, this is something that is not, I think, very often clearly understood. In John 1 we read, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." When you meet a Jehovah's Witness, he'll try to retranslate the Greek. It's always a little hilarious to have a Jehovah's Witness come to your door trying to retranslate the Greek when the idiot can hardly read it in English. The Greek cannot be faithfully retranslated in any other way. And to manipulate it, as the Jehovah's Witnesses suggest, is to fly in the face of honesty, integrity, to say nothing of Greek grammar and syntax. The Word was God. Absolute deity. He is not a God. He is not a minor God. He is not a God with a small g, in the sense that the Old Testament word Elohim is sometimes applied to angels or even to magistrates. He is God. He is Jehovah. He is the second person of the eternal Trinity. The Word was God. But in verse 14, we read, "And the Word became," or was made, "flesh." The Word became flesh. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 4, that when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. He became of a woman. And I believe that the old church fathers who were Orthodox had this right when they understood that to mean that he was made, as to his humanity, of her substance. The Holy Spirit did not simply use Mary as the bearer or the carrier of Christ. He did not take some heavenly seed and implant it in her womb and build from that heavenly seed a different kind of humanity. He was made of a woman, so that he's bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. It was not a plastic or look-alike humanity, but a real humanity. The true humanity. The only humanity that God has ever created, that the Lord Jesus took into union with his eternal deity. Made of a woman. Paul further tells us that this is the very first point in Christian orthodoxy. 1 Timothy 3 verse 16. Great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of piety. What does he mean by that? He's talking about what the world generally means by religion. True religion. He's talking about having a grip of truth that makes you genuinely godly and genuinely holy. And the very first point in a list of fundamentals of the faith is this: God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. That's the constant teaching of Scripture. The incarnation. Now, here we come to the vital part. That's a point in history. There was a moment when the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary. There was a moment when he began from her substance to make the humanity of Christ. There was a moment when Christ was born. There was a moment, therefore, you could say, when God became incarnate. There was a precise moment when eternal deity entered into a personal union with a human body and a human soul. That's history, as well as important theology. But the point that the scriptures we have been reading this morning labor to make is this, that the incarnation was not a temporary expedient. The incarnation was not something that happened and endured for a while, and then the Son of God broke that union when he entered into union with true humanity. That was an irreversible step that God took. And Jesus Christ is as much today God manifested in human flesh as he ever was before.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.